On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we separate fact from fiction about Derek Carr's potential new deal. We talk about Davante Adams potentially going to the Raiders, the coaching hires, and a quick mock draft because it's never too soon to do a mock draft. And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto. Let's have some fun today. The LA Rams are the Super Bowl champions, beating Cincinnati Bengals. It was going to happen. The Rams are a super team. Like, they're built for this. They got the coach. They got the QB. They got the stars on offense. They got the stars on defense. They got, is he the richest owner in the NFL?
Rams God owner? Damn, he might be. Jesus.
If he's not, he's pretty damn close.
Pretty damn close.
And the Bengals are playing with house money since they got to the playoffs, right? Like, they squeaked by the Raiders, had massive holes in parts of their game, but hey, credit to them. Like, they earned it. They got there. But they were the inferior team in the Super Bowl and still made it a good game. Dude, the quality of football from the divisional round to the conference championship to the Super Bowl.
Games, dude.
Every freaking game.
There was some
just
good games.
Amazing. Like, I'm old enough to remember there was a point in like 90s, like most of the 90s, there's like 8 Super Bowls in a row that were just blowouts, trash. At least we had some good Super Bowls
some good games.
Other than the last time the Rams were in the Super Bowl, Rams Pats, it's been basically really good games. I mean, like the Patriots comeback against the Falcons, like historic. The last couple Super Bowls have been great. At least it's been quality football.
Yeah, especially the whole playoffs this year. I mean, maybe one or two games were kind of stinkers, but there was really good football throughout the entire playoffs.
The wild card round was a stinker, minus Raiders good game. Not to get the result. Wild card was rough. But then after that,
the divisional rounds, like it was some good ass games, man. That was good
overtimes, history making, just quality football, man.
I mean, one of the things that I noticed, like, there wasn't like a far and away favorite. You could make a case for a couple of different teams in each conference for winning the Super Bowl. And usually it's like, oh, this is like the far and away favorite to win. And yeah, man, they just went out there and got it done. Freaking Cincy, Jesus.
So we're recording this on February 16th, Wednesday. And today was the championship parade for the Rams. We live in LA County in Long Beach. And there was a championship parade. Here's a little clip of Super Bowl champion Matthew Stafford at the podium. Have you seen this? Have you seen the clips? Here's Matty Stafford.
Just bottled up.
Dude, as he should be.
Well, you fucking want, man. Do what you want. Shit.
You win a Super Bowl, you should be at least this drunk. Take a look.
Here with you guys celebrating this shit. Come on. Let's go, y'all. I'm going to bring a little Southern hospitality to this. I appreciate y'all so much. You guys have been unbelievable. Unbelievable all year. And you know what? We appreciate you. Let's go.
It's nice to know a 30-something-year-old millionaire that if you just won the Super Bowl and changed your life forever versus just kind of like the drunk guy at a party in junior college.
Same guy.
Your drunken conversation is the same thing.
Same guy.
I appreciate you. Here's some Southern hospitality.
Let's turn this shit up.
I appreciate you. Like, you like repeat yourself. And then when you like, you run out of stuff to say, let's you take a giant swig of the bottle that you have 19. In your hand.
I mean, the tequila is a lot nicer when you're the Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yes. Touche. That was a fancy looking bottle.
That was 1942. Good bottles. That's some nice
Don Julio, right?
Don Julio, Don yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's some good shit. And the Ludacris playing in the background takes me back to when I was in college.
Luda. So real quick on Super Bowl parades. Los Angeles gets a bad rap from like East Coasters and Midwesterners. Like you've seen it a million times. They're like, oh, here's a championship parade for the Lakers or for the Dodgers. And they'll choreograph the photo to be like 9 hours before the parade. And they'll take a picture of like the least populated part of the parade. Like, look, these guys aren't showing up. Oh, look at this in Chicago. Look at us in Milwaukee. Look at us, whatever, right? How about that? So one, that's all BS. Two, parades suck. Like, here's a reality. There's nothing more boring than a parade. Like, you're standing there in the heat, in a crowd, nuts to butts, just sweating on strangers, waiting for hours for some float moving 5 miles an hour that's going to be 100 feet away from you with some coaches, executives, and players that you'll wave at from 100 feet away. And that's how you want to spend your entire afternoon? Parades suck. Don't go to parades. They're terrible. The only reason people enjoy them is because you're attaching the feeling of winning something to a parade, right? That's the only thing that people like about it.
I like a parade. Like, okay, no, so I dated a chick in high school. She was RJ, I dated a lot of chicks in high school. So this one chick I dated in high school, she was on like, what the fuck you call them? The freaking song team or the dance team, whatever.
Where all the heifers work. Yeah.
She was a thicker girl, but she had a thin waist. She had a thin waist. She had a bigger
hourglass figure. Sure.
Yeah. I like what I like. What the fuck you want?
I'm believing this story more and more. Continue.
And so she was in a parade and I went to go watch her and that shit was ass, bro. That shit was so ass. I'm just like, fuck. I've lived here my entire life. I have never been to the Rose Parade. I have never, like, that's like the most, like, one of the most famous parades is the Rose Parade. I've never had an inkling to go. I have never had the want to go at all. The fucking Dodgers never, Lakers have won. I've never wanted to go to a parade. Just
because they suck. They're not fun.
Not for me.
Like, well, if I attach a world championship to something that's unfun, it'll be fun. Like, no, it's not. That's like saying, hey, let's go to the Lakers world championship IRS audit. It'll be fun because, you know, it's the world championship. We're going to celebrate it. We'll do an IRS audit. It's like, no, it's not. You know what'll be fun? A world championship beach party.
Yeah.
A world championship concert in the park. Do something like that. Why are we still acting like parades are all you have to do when you win a championship? It's what they did for fun in 1824. When literally it was like, what are we going to do today? Die of cholera, play the little like wooden stick moving the circle down the street game, or a parade. Mm. And even then, I still feel like there's a good amount of the population that's like, let's just die of cholera as opposed to doing those two things.
You know,
you suck.
Like, the only parade I think I'd like, if we went to, like, then down to TJ, we go to Hong Kong, and, like, you parade all the chicks in front of me. Maybe that parade I would like.
I would call that technically a ho train, but I can understand you putting, you know, the parade now next to it. I understand that. That makes sense.
I'm trying to make a parade nice.
Yeah.
Appealing.
And it's impossible. It's impossible. Parades are terrible. Don't go to them. And if you shame people for not going to a parade, you're the most boring person on planet Earth. Parades suck. So things are really heating up with Derek Carr and potentially his extension coming up. That's honestly the biggest thing coming up for McZiegler, right? Jason McDaniels and Dave Ziegler. That's probably the biggest thing they've got to do.
Who the fuck is Jason McDaniels? That's
Josh McDaniels. Week in a row. I keep saying Jason McDaniels. Do I go to high school with a Jason McDaniels?
God damn.
Josh McDaniels.
I'm going to Google that David motherfucker. Ziegler. He's got to be somebody.
I'm curious too.
All right, keep talking.
Is he like a guest star in The Simpsons? And that's why I keep hearing into my brain.
Who the hell knows
who this guy is? Anyway, Derek Carr has a big extension coming, potentially. And it's arguably the biggest thing that the Raider franchise has to worry about right now. There's few things you can do bigger than handle your contract with your franchise quarterback. And there's been multiple, you know, people talking about things, people potentially saying, oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. So we're going to separate fact from fiction for all you guys. Okay. We're going to separate some fact from fiction, and we're going to go into what's worth it, what isn't worth it, what this contract means. Because when you're dealing with a potentially 30, 40, maybe more million dollar contract, there's a lot of moving parts and has a lot of consequences and repercussions. So this week, Vinny Bastignori tweeted out, as it relates to Derek Carr and the Raiders, the sense is no proposals have been exchanged yet on an extension. You'll see various numbers being thrown around, but as I've been reporting, any extension would likely be in the $40 million per season range, which is more or less what a starting franchise quarterback goes for these days in the economics of the NFL. That's one report. And I don't know if you've seen this one, the next one, Soto. Because I know when you saw this one, your head exploded because you hate Derek Carr and the idea of giving him $40 million.
I don't know if that's the case. But
here's another one. So Vic Tafer, friend of the show, from The Athletic. And he talked about multiple things. But the big takeaway from me was this one. And he talked about, you know, Carr taking a longer deal, a shorter deal, what that entails. But he said this, and that's what stuck with me. And then there's owner Mark Davis, President Dan Ventrelli, and Senior Vice President Tom Delaney come in. They are going to try to stay in the shadows on this, but I have a flashlight, and there's definitely a financial number on Carr that they won't go over. Buckle up. So a couple things to take in right now. First off, I've been trying, because I've worked in media for a long time, Soto, trying to impress on you and educate you on how sports media works. Media members, journalists, and I'm not saying they're bad because they do this. I'm not saying you shouldn't trust them or shouldn't read them or blackball them or whatever. But the reality of how journalism works is you give and take. Hey, player. Hey, owner. Hey, coach. I have some information that you may want. Here you go. Now you give me some information. Or a coach or an agent or somebody goes to a media member and says, hey, you know what? I kind of want this information out there. How about you put this info out there, and then a month from now, I've got an IOU and I'll give you some information later. There's a give and take. There's basically a little economy going on.
I get it.
With this, right?
Barter system.
Exactly. So you got to be careful whenever you read something to understand where it was. So like the whole Harbaugh to the Raiders thing, I was like, I don't buy it. I think he's just trying to get more money to stay in Michigan. You're like, no, I think he's coming. I'm like, well, I don't think he is. Lo and behold, we just found out today he signed an extension with Michigan, and it was all just a ploy to get more money, right? Why did I know that? Because all of the rumors of him going to the NFL came from his local media, came from his guys. And so on this end, Vinny Bastignori, no knock to him by any means, but he is a guy that's kind of in the machine of the Raiders, so to speak, mm-hmm. where he'll get calls. He's an insider, which is a good thing. He'll get calls to say, hey, I kind of want this out there. I want the idea that I'm going to get $40 million kind of flowing out there. You know, I want the autumn windbags talking about potentially me getting $40 million.
Because the windbags move the needle, bitch.
We do. Giantly, right? Big old fucking needle. And then you've got Vic Tafer, who's a little bit more independent. He's still in the machine, a little more independent, a little bit more kind of standing off and giving you a big picture as opposed to being in the mix. So I know how upset you were when you got the idea that you know it was considered a report that Carr is getting $40 million a year.
I didn't say it because it was a report. I said if they give him that much money, I don't want to hear any bullshit about getting him weapons and why don't we get him weapons because we're giving him too much cash.
Well, you saw that number and you're like the wheels in your head started turning. It's like if we give him this, then X, Y, and Z have to happen, right? As it should, right? Because it really is a – and I'm not saying he won't get 40 or he's going to get 20 or whatever. I'm not telling you what number he's going to get. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. Vinny doesn't know. Vic Tafer doesn't know. Mark Davis to this point. Derek Carr doesn't know at this point, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. My point being, you get numbers thrown out from different places as reports, and they all serve a purpose. And only so often is it, all right, this is what I generally think as an insider. And oftentimes it's, I need to do a favor for somebody. I need to do, and I want to put this out there for something.
Okay.
So that's the first thing, Soto, is what number is it going to be? It's all still up in the air. And it's, everyone's just kind of throwing shit against the wall, seeing what sticks.
I mean, I'm hoping that 40 is like something from the Carr camp, just to kind of throw it out there. And that's a high number. The fact that Vic Taffer put something out there that, you know, that the kind of executives from the Raiders, you know, Davis and them, basically said like, hey, we have a number and a set number of years, and that's it. Like, we're not going over this whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I think they have a specific understanding of who they feel Carr is and what they feel that Carr's ceiling is moving forward. And I don't know that they feel comfortable putting him in a different bucket or a different bracket of quarterbacks and paying him as such. Just because he's up and he's next, I don't feel that they think, given this report, that there's a cap, a number, and an amount of years that they're willing to pay, and that's it. They're not willing to ease up on that and move him up just because he's next, just because it's his turn to get that contract. They're willing to do that. I'm sure that that's been something that's been communicated prior to Ziegler and McDaniels coming over. Mm-hmm. It could be something that's a big shakeup coming up. Because if it's something where Carr digs his heels in, where, hey, man, I don't want to have a short-term deal. I want to have something that's a little bit more secure. I want to end my career here, but I do want to play five more years. I do want to have, you know, 35 is a good number to play, and, you know, a good number to reach for. And I want to play five more years of, you know, whatever. And I want to have sign a 5-year, you know, an extension for four more years, the 1 year I have left plus four more or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders aren't willing to go that far on that long. And I don't know, man, it could be tough.
So here's the economics of the NFL in 2022. And it's only going to get more so of what I'm saying, not less so. There are 32 NFL teams. There aren't 32 starting NFL quarterbacks. There just isn't. There are not 32 carbon-based human life forms on planet Earth that are starting NFL quarterback caliber. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality of it. And so quarterbacks and their agents know that. Like, they have franchises bent over and smacked. They have all the negotiating power. And so this is the reality moving forward, is Derek Carr knows, and his agent knows, that the Raiders don't have other options other than him. And he can leverage that to whatever point he wants. And so we're talking about, hey, like $40 million a year. Like, wow, that sounds crazy. That sounds nuts. That's the going rate for a franchise quarterback. He would only be the fifth highest paid quarterback next season, according to cap hit. Contracts that big, there's signing bonuses, extensions, there's a lot of moving parts, right? But on pure cap hit, he'd only be the fifth highest paid quarterback next season.
Mm-hmm.
His last contract, he was the highest paid for like 45 minutes, right? Stafford got another one and another one, another one, right? So even as bad as it sounds and as hard as it feels, and as hard as it hits me too, Soto, like I understand the economics, and I know we have to keep Carr, but I want to pay him as little as possible. I'd rather pay Renfro and Crosby and get Devontae Adams, right? Like, I got my Christmas list just like you. But I also understand the economics of football, and that $40 million a year in the economics of the NFL in 2022, Carr can demand that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raiders pretty much have to pay it or do some sort of Hail Mary, right? Like, that standard operating procedure would be to give Carr a roughly $40 million type of year, type of season, type deal.
Yeah, there's a couple different things that they can do. There's probably three different routes they can go. And none of them are really that appealing, honestly. If they sign him to that amount of money, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be there's going to be a lot asked of the coaching staff to coach up the team that they have and to make and find stars that are on this roster already, because they're not going to be able to bring in elite talent from other teams, like free agent wise. They're going to have to find and develop elite talent. And that's what you need to win in the NFL, is elite talent. Mm. And they're not going to be able to afford it, because a car is going to be taking up too much of the cap to do it. So there's that. So that's asking a lot. That's asking a lot of the coaching staff. They can, if they feel, if Mick Ziegler feels comfortable with another quarterback that's out there, that they can win with a cheaper quarterback option while they build a team around that quarterback in the meantime, while they find a longer term option, either a younger quarterback, maybe that is stashed somewhere in another roster that hasn't been given a chance, or through the draft or whatever.
No such quarterback exists, by the way. There's no one better than Carr hiding on a roster somewhere. And there's nobody in this draft better than Carr.
That you think.
That anyone thinks.
Who
do you think?
That I'm not the one making the decision. Again, you're asking me to make the decision, and I'm not posing this question. I'm not posing this answers to you as the decision maker. I'm saying that there's different routes that are options.
Options saying, for the Raiders.
Yeah. I'm saying these are options that are available. I'm not saying that they will do it. What my fear is, we've seen what Derek Carr is, and we've seen what his deficiencies are and what his strengths are. My concern is, with the issues that he has, he needs more than what our resources will be able to give him if we give him that much of the cap. And I understand what you're saying about the economics of the NFL, but he's shown us that he needs more than what our resources will be able to allow him.
Here's hoping they figure it out, right? Because
yeah, man,
he's not going well. But on the same time, but also think more litigiously, right? So we're using the simple number of $40 million a year, just as like a simple way, right? But as we know, multi-hundred million dollar contracts with NFL quarterbacks are much more complicated than that. They can work out an extension with guaranteed money. There's a world where Carr can play next season on this contract, making less than $20 million, one of the biggest steals in football, but have guaranteed money on the back end, right? So like, you play this extension, and then we're going to guarantee you, escalating numbers moving forward, which I think is what they should do, because the cap's only going up, and quarterback cost is only going up. Like, imagine when like Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and these guys' contracts like start coming up. Like, we're talking 50, 60 million. Joe Burrow, when he comes up, would it be shocking that he gets a $65 million a year contract in 2 years, 2-3 years from now? I don't think that's shocking at all. $65 million?
Probably in the 50s.
Like, a $55 million contract would be like, that sounds about right. Right,
that would be $10 million more than the highest paid quarterback is making. Now that would be a really big jump. I would say probably closer to 50.
But that's what happens every single season. Matt Ryan has a $48 million cap hit next season.
Yeah, but that's because that's not what he signed. That was because he had a lot of his stuff pushed back. That he got a lot of stuff backloaded to that.
But that's exactly my point. That's exactly my point, though. Right, is you can do that with Carr. You can give him all right, let's up this as the cap goes up. Let's try to win now. Let's, you know what I mean? You can do that type of things with him. But, like Aaron Rodgers due for 46 mil. That's a genuine number. Kirk Cousins, 45 mil. That's a real number. Deshaun Watson, 40 mil. That's a real number. Like, Look, I'm looking to get a bigger house, right? I want to have more kids, want a bigger house. Like, we live in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
$1 million house. When we were growing up, the richest people had $1 million houses. Doctors, lawyers, you know, your cousin whose dad was a drug dealer, right? Like, those are the people who had $1 million homes, right? If you just want a 4-bed, 2-bath in Southern California, you need $1 million. And you're like, that's insane. No, these houses aren't worth $1 million. That's insane. Car isn't worth $40 million. And both statements are true. The houses I'm looking at aren't worth $1 million. But the market says they are. And it's either that or I rent or I move out of state, right? That's kind of the same thing with car. It's like, mm-hmm. or any quarterback, right? Car is just the one we're talking about right now. But in the next 2, 3, 4 seasons, $50, $60 million contracts for quarterbacks, those are going to be the deals. Not because they're worth it, but that's because what the economy of the NFL dictates that they're worth, because there just aren't 32 starting quarterbacks for all 32 NFL teams.
So when is it enough? When is it going to be enough? Now, I'm not saying it's specifically car specific, mm-hmm. but when is it going to be enough?
When the game
changes. What I'm saying is, when is it going to be enough? How many chances is going to be too many chances? When is it going to be like, you know what? This guy just isn't going to be a guy that can get it done. How often? Like, how long do you give a guy and it's just not getting done?
Well, it's already happening with some guys, right? Like Carson Wentz, right? Like, his contract, he clearly got paid and didn't pan out, right? Jimmy Garoppolo, for he's getting paid, didn't pan out, right?
Well, so it's like, it's already happening. Jimmy Garoppolo has been to the Super Bowl and he's been to
championships. Nobody's gonna say he's the reason they got there. Everyone understands that he was been holding them back, and he just kind of stayed under center and like did as little screw ups as possible. Like that NFC Championship game, like, him in the whole playoffs, trash. Like, when there's a 2-minute drill and Jimmy Garoppolo had the ball, everyone's like, okay, game's over. We all knew. And what happened? Like, sack, strip sack. Like, we all knew, right? Like, that was a that's another example of a fantastic team without a quarterback, right? You put a semi-decent quarterback, a quarterback worse than Derek Carr, on the Niners. They might have won the Super Bowl or got to the Super Bowl or whatever, right? Because they're just so talented otherwise. And so this is why, like, I just want like a step back for all Raider fans to say, well, $40 million for Carr, we're screwed. It'll never work. It's like, the Raiders are playing by the same rules of every other franchise in the NFL. And if you want a standard issue NFL franchise quarterback that's not on a rookie contract, and we all know, like, this rookie contract is a game changer, right? If you can get a Joe Burrow or, you know, someone like that on a rookie deal, like, you have a brief window to do amazing things because you have a bigger cap than you would otherwise. But this is, I don't make the rules, but I know what they are. And this is the reality of the market for NFL quarterbacks. Derek Carr demands $40 million a season. He's probably going to get it. As long as we can be flexible with how that works, right? Let him play out this, give him an extension, give him guaranteed money down the line. We can start building this roster and make it work. But this is the big thing for Mick Ziegler to figure out moving forward, is how do we keep our franchise together, keep enough money on the books to build, and keep everybody happy? Like, that's why he's the new GM. That's your big thing to figure out. That's your number one biggest thing to figure out. And it's coming in the first 4 weeks on the job. Figure it out.
Yeah, man, he's got a lot to figure out. Hopefully he's got a lot of capologists there just waiting to figure some shit out, because he's got to figure out ways to get playmakers, man. We need playmakers on both sides of the ball. And if Carr's going to at this point, dude, I don't know, because you were looking for that quote, and I remember reading it where he said, you know, I've already been the highest paid guy. I want to win. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. You know, so we'll see. We'll see. At this point, I'm not even sure, you know, if he's, you know, what did I say in the text message? If he's probably a crackhead. You know, he's probably doesn't even go to church. He's just lying ass if he signs for $40 million.
Every single fan base wants their quarterback to take a team-friendly deal. We all do, for obvious reasons. No quarterbacks do.
It's not about want, RJ. Happened. It's about if your quarterback comes out there and says, man, I really want to win with these guys. You know, I've already been the highest paid quarterback in the league. And then he freaking signs for $40 million a year, knowing how much he, like, I just, that's the thing is, for these people who think I'm a car hater, I'm not a car hater. I see Derek Carr. I see Derek Carr for who he is. And I know that he needs more help. I don't want to hear anybody crying and bitching and belly aching about him not having the help if he needs, if you're okay with him signing for $40 million. I just don't want to hear it because that's where his help is going.
It's irrelevant whether we're okay with it or not. Like that's the part that's the giant pill to swallow. It's like, I don't want to have to pay $1 million to have four bedrooms in Southern California. I have no choice. The house isn't worth it, but I have no choice. Like that's just the going rate for, you know, 1500 square feet of brick and wood.
RJ,
that's the going rate
Chino.
For a franchise
you
quarterback.
You can move to fucking Chino. You
can,
move,
move to Chino, right?
Exactly. You can get
and
that
that's
there.
The thing.
So what the, so that's the thing is you have choices to get your four bedroom house somewhere else. That's not moving out of state. The thing that I'm saying is Derek Carr is putting it out there himself, saying that, oh, I've already been the highest. I want to win. Okay, if you want to win, then let's see it.
I think you're let's hearing what you want to hear.
That's not true, man. Yeah. I will find it. I will find it.
Please, because I couldn't find it and you couldn't find it. But
get
the fuck out of here.
Dude, how are you not? God damn.
What did I say? I tried to find it. I couldn't. You tried to find it. You couldn't. What did I say that was not wrong? That's 100% correct, right?
I was full of shit, man.
If you could find it, you'd find it. If you could find it, you'd be throwing it in my face right now. Look, this is my thing with Derek Carr.
Your thing with Derek Carr is. You're going to spin shit and you're going to twist it however you want to make it look and to put Carr in a better light. So go ahead and do that.
You know what you are the dude who has like the really messy apartment, right? Where there's like pizza boxes stacked up, like your socks are like on the bureau, your underwear's in the sink, but then your girlfriend comes over and leaves like one shoe in the corner. And you're like, what the fuck? Look how messy my house is. Why are you making my house so messy? That's how you're with Derek Carr. Like every single player in the NFL wants as much money as possible. Every single player in the NFL says the team friendly lines. But you only come down on Carr for it.
I don't care about anybody else but who plays on my team. That's who I care about. And when I hear people who are coming down on me for my quarterback not being shit, because I'm saying he's not as good as you're saying he is. He has these deficiencies, and I'm not saying that I want to get rid of the guy, but I'm saying we need to give him more help. And if he's taking up more, if he's taking up more cap than he should take, because he's not as good as people are saying he is. And then that's where his fucking help is going.
Would you be mad at Derek Carr?
Buzzcut selfish ass bitch.
So now he's a selfish ass bitch for maximizing his value and getting as much money as possible.
Twist it however you want to fucking twist.
No. I'm not twisting. I'm literally asking you. If he took $40 million.
Oh, I'm not saying anything. Derek Carr can come and I will suck his dick.
This is when I know you're wrong, is when you don't answer questions. Like that's when I know.
Look,
that's when you waving the white flag.
Derek Carr is an average to slightly above average quarterback. That's what I think. And he needs a lot more than what him making $40 million would allot us cap wise.
I would love nothing more than for him to take less than 40.
But RJ, but you're like, yeah, well, you know, that's what the market. You know what? If you're paying him as a slightly above average quarterback, he would not make $40 million.
He would. Literally the market.
No, if you're a fucking dumbass and you're the fucking Minnesota Vikings, or if you're the fucking Tennessee Titans, or you're the fucking Eagles and you give Wentz and on all these other idiots all this money that you shouldn't have given them, you inflate the market by giving these mediocre quarterbacks too much money. We don't have to do that, but we're going to. Why? Because
you just said it. You just said it. They've inflated the market to this point where you have to pick quarterbacks. Have to do it. What's the alternative? Okay, what do we do instead?
I've said it before. You just don't want to hear it.
No, you don't. You don't give me numbers. You're like, well, we can move on to who?
Okay, I've said it. Just answer.
Can you answer one question for me?
Nope. I've answered them all already.
No, you haven't.
You don't want to hear anything. Is Derek Carr
a selfish asshole for maximizing his value and getting the most money that he can?
No. Derek Carr is a selfish asshole for saying one thing and doing another.
I think you're reading too much into that comment. But I understand what you're saying.
When you specifically say, I've already been the highest paid quarterback, man. I want to win. When you say that, and then you take this big of a chunk of your cap, yeah, that's bullshit.
So one of the guys that we'd really love to have, if we got the cap, is Devontae Adams. ESPN came out with their list of the best free agents and who should pick them up. Number one, the list, Devontae Adams, which makes perfect sense coming out of Green Bay.
Number one free agent.
Number one free agent. Obviously, we all know the story. He played with Derek Carr in Fresno State. They're both still very close. They both would still love to play with each other. Not in a weird way, you sickos. In football.
Look, we don't know.
Hey, if whatever gets him, wherever gets him to Las Vegas.
Dude, if he comes to Vegas, I don't give a fuck what they do.
If Devontae Adams is like, I'm going to go to Vegas and I'll do it for $10 million, but I get to give a hand job to Derek Carr once a week. I will be there with a shotgun in my hand watching to make sure that Devontae Adams and Derek Carr are playing together exactly how his contract demands, right?
He gets his manual release.
Whatever it takes. This just feels that I want to come out here and be optimistic and think of how awesome it would be. He's exactly what we need, right? We need a dominant, good, veteran, ex-wide receiver. He's literally what we need the most on our offense right now is a guy like Devontae Adams. Synergy's already there with Derek Carr.
Literally.
They both want to be there. I posted the video on our YouTube last week, earlier in the week, about how Devontae Adams literally bought a house in Oakland after his last contract with Green Bay and was like practicing with Derek Carr. He thought for sure he was going to be an Oakland Raider, right? And didn't pan out.
Yep.
Green Bay eventually stepped up, gave him his big contract, and here we are. So I want to be Mr. Optimistic and just like have this wet dream with you about Devontae Adams playing for the Raiders. I just don't see it. I just don't see the Raiders paying this much, even a $40 million Derek Carr or a $20 million Derek Carr. I just don't see the Raiders forking over that kind of dough for a Devontae Adams that's already in his 30s. Not that the value isn't there. It just feels so un-Raider-like to me.
Well,
convince me I'm wrong, please.
The difference is this is a new regime, and they're willing to pay. They're willing to pay for elite talent.
Do we know that for sure?
Well, Bill Belichick has been willing to pay for elite talent. Mm-hmm. Now, he doesn't do it often, but when you're like the guy in your position, when you're like the guy and you're a game changer, which Devontae Adams is, he's willing to pay you. And he's willing to pay you top dollar, but you have to be that guy. Devontae Adams is that guy.
How many guys has Belichick like that paid over the last few years? Like how many free agents are like the number one dudes at their position that he paid? I can't think of many. Randy Moss a long time ago.
Randy Moss, he did.
He really doesn't do that often.
He doesn't do, but the thing is when he. But he has. That's the thing. Is William McGinnis, he paid a lot back in the day. His last contract before he shipped him off to Cleveland. That was like the first run. Gronk, he paid a lot of money to before he wanted to ship him off to Detroit.
But he was homegrown. So it's a little different, right?
Bringing in still a free paid agent. Him a shit ton. He was still the highest paid tight end by a lot. Mm-hmm. Who else?
My point is it's not many. Like it's not standard operating procedure.
Yeah, but
procedure.
The thing is, but if so, let me start with this. If Aaron Rodgers comes back to Green Bay, they're not going to have enough money. Even if they wanted to franchise Devontae Adams, they're not going to have enough money because Aaron Rodgers is going to make $46 million.
They will. They'll make it work. Guaranteed.
Okay.
That's the main reason why I don't think he's coming to the Raiders is I don't think Aaron Rodgers is leaving Green Bay. And that means Devontae Adams.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. So I don't personally think knowing what they looked like in the second round and how poorly they did in the second round of the playoffs last year. They need some upgrades. They're going to lose some people. I don't know if they're just going to run it back with a kind of a shell of their former team. So
you get a back-to-back NFL MVP basically at quarterback and a number one receiver. Like you don't break that up. I just do not see the Packers breaking that up. That's a GM. That's how GMs lose their job. Is by like letting things like this, like, right? Like you have Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, like generational talents. You lose that. That's how you lose your job as a GM. Even if you're like, you're crunching numbers and you have a plan, you lose your job. Mm-hmm. If you have one of the, like arguably the dynamic duo in football, like what's better than that? Maybe Burrow Chase, maybe Stafford Cup, right? Like there's, you know, I'd still say it's Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and he's got the MVPs to prove it, right? Like you do not break that up and keep your job in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean,
what a buzzkill, right? Like I could just imagine Devontae Adams in silver and black.
It does make sense. It just. I'd be hard. It would be really hard for me to imagine them not franchising Adams. I don't know what they would have to do to be. I don't know what the Packers would have to do otherwise, because the problem that you're going to see is if I was Aaron Rodgers, I would say, look, I'm not coming back until Devontae Adams is back. Once Devontae Adams is back, then I'll consider coming back.
Do you think Rodgers is thinking that way?
I think he's thinking
Adams first. I feel like Aaron is about Aaron, and like he obviously wants Devontae Adams there, right?
Well, the
I
is, think he's not going to come back with a bunch of slap dicks, dude. Dude, look, let's just put this out there, okay? The reason Tom Brady retired is because Tampa is going to be a lot shittier next year. Mm-hmm. Most of the guys that they signed on one-year deals to run it back-to-back Super Bowls, those guys are going to cash out, and those guys aren't going to be back. So that's the real reason Tom Brady retired, okay?
I thought it was to spend more time with his family.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, he retired because he knows Tampa Bay is going to take a big dip, and their talent's going to take a huge dip because they're going to be in cap hell. They're not going to be able to keep a lot of their players. That's why. So let's just stop playing this little fucking game because he saw the talent around him.
I just don't want to. If I can't give 100%, then I just don't want to play anymore. Yeah, That's why. It has nothing to do with me making sure that I'm always stockpiling the best possible players in football around me. And I won't play football unless that's the case. God damn it.
Yeah, look. I'm not shitting on the guy. If I'm that old, I want the best team around me because I want to fucking win. If
you can LeBron your team, you should, right?
Yeah, I get it. Power. I get it. But the thing is Aaron Rodgers thinking the same way. He's not going to be, he even said it himself. I don't want to be a part of a rebuild. Okay. So if he's going to come back, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to come back and play with Juju Smith-Schuster or play with Allen Robinson. He wants to play with his guy.
How about this for just a thought exercise? We both agree Aaron Rodgers is probably staying in Green Bay. Let's say he doesn't. Let's say he goes to the Niners or goes to the Broncos or, oh God, that sounds terrible. Let's say he goes to Tampa Bay. Let's say he goes to Tampa Bay. What do you think the odds are the Raiders get Devontae Adams if that's the case?
I think pretty good.
You think that they're the number one contender to land him?
Yeah, I think so. I think if Aaron Rodgers comes back but to another team, I think it'll be pretty good, because then they'll be in full rebuild mode, and there'll be no reason really for them to keep him.
Yeah.
Why spend that much of a cap on one player that, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I'm going to use that money to build a strong team around, my young quarterback, and spread that money out and get good players in a lot of other positions. That would make probably the most sense. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers on the Broncos is fucking scary, dude. I don't even want to think about that.
Imagine Derek Carr with Josh McDaniels' offense throwing to Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro, Devontae Adams.
That's freaky, dude. That's freaky.
Whew. Josh Jacobs running the ball.
Don't discount freaking Jalen Richard, dude. Jalen Richard catching the ball in that offense.
Josh Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake gonna make like $9 million next year. Like,
dude,
better get a lot of targets for how much we're paying him.
Jesus Christ, right?
So, talking about Raiders coaches, we've basically got our Raiders head or coaching staff in place, more or less. Right? There's still a couple stragglers here and there, but the Raiders coaching staff is basically in place, and we're talking about, you know, Derek Carr's contract and free agency and all these stuff. Like, they're doing it. They're going in the right order, right? Let's build our coaching. Let's get our GM. Let's get our head coach. Let's build our coaching staff. And we have time to do this. We don't have time to dilly dally, but we have time. Right. Mm-hmm. And basically we've got our whole head coaching staff, Dave Ziegler, GM, Josh McDaniels, head coach, Patrick Graham, defensive coordinator, Bo Hardigree, quarterback coach, Chris Ash, secondary coach, Tom McMahon, special teams, linebacker, Antonio Pierce, offensive coordinator, Michael Lombardi, offensive line coach, Coach Carmen Brasillo. Any Raider coaches, let's start with this. Any Raider coaches that weren't kept, are you surprised or pissed about?
No. Not at all.
Not one?
Not really.
We were pretty high on Tom Cable for a while. This season wasn't his best work.
I saw some development late in the year, a little bit with Leatherwood, mostly with James. I think James, I saw some development with him late.
A lot of development, I think, is safe to say with James. I think James came on pretty, he did really well late.
I'm not going to hang all of Leatherwood on Cable. I think that was just a very poor pick.
Losing your two starting guards like out of the gate.
Having Leatherwood at all on that line was bad anyway. And then losing your two starting guards, like your two starting guards never playing a snap all year.
You've turned Brandon Parker into a starting right tackle in the NFL.
Brandon Parker, you know, if we're lucky, he never sees the field, and now he's playing every single snap. You know, he didn't have a lot to work with, and I mean, it wasn't good.
Yeah,
so I'm good with it.
Cable was the one guy where it was kind of like, eh, you know, let's see. You know, our defensive line coach retired, right? Like, he would have been great to keep, but he retired. You know, 900 years old, he's gone. And obviously, like, Rich Bisaccia, like, I said it as soon as the season was over. I'm like, there's no new regime keeps a guy like Bisaccia around. But it still kind of hurts watching him go. Like, what he did, certainly a good special teams coordinator. But it's like, you don't, like, when a new king takes over a new kingdom, you don't let the king just, like, hang around the court. You move everybody out, and you start fresh, and you have your guys in there. Because you have debts to pay. Like, you want your guys, you want guys that owe you with you.
Mm-hmm.
This whole coaching searches are more than just simply, I want the best guys around me. I want to put together the best possible coaches. The politics are much deeper than that. Like, you want people to owe you. Like, if you have the power to build an NFL coaching staff, make a dozen dudes millionaires, change their careers and change their lives forever. You want them to owe you. You want them to say like, oh man, Dave Ziegler like bought me this $1 million house, or Josh McDaniels is like the reason I have this great career. Like, you want that. And the best possible coaches in the best possible scenario do both. Like, no, I got the very best guy and I got my guy. Like, that's what you hope is going to happen, right? That's the best case scenario for the fans of a team. But often it's just simply like, I want my homies there because he did me a favor 7 years ago and hired me at Rutgers or whatever. And now it's my turn to back him up. And I think he might take off. So if he becomes a head coach somewhere and I lose my job, I want to be his defensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's like it's self-preservation in the
favors,
future.
Right? You're giving favors to however many you can, right? And this is I think is a big part of it. And why I bring this up now is because essentially all of New England left the Patriots and are here now. GM from New England, head coach from New England, defensive coordinator Giants, but basically New England, quarterback coach, New England, offensive coordinator, promotion, wide receiver to offensive coordinator, New England, offensive line coach, New England. So there's two things happening here. I'm hoping that Josh McDaniels is like, I've been in this franchise for a super long time. I know all these guys are the best and I'm taking them with me. I'm hoping that's the case. Potentially, it's simply just, I want my dudes here. That could be part of it. It's almost for sure a combination of the two. I'm just hoping it's more McDaniels and Ziegler were in that building in New England for a decade or more. And they're like, all right, let's pick the cream of the crop and let's take them to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think that's the case just because McDaniels has been an OC for so long. He's been in one of those situations where he's been in the same position for so many years that he's kind of solidified what he can do in this league. If he gets a job, people know what he can do. He doesn't have to worry about anyone doing him any favors anymore. You know what you're getting when you get Josh McDaniels as an offensive coordinator. Should something happen with the Raiders and he look for a job somewhere else, right? I think he's just looking to build a good staff, man.
I hope so, because most of the guys he brought over from New England all got promotions, almost all of them. Lombardi went from wide receiver coach to offensive coordinator. Hardigy went from like assistant, like offensive assistant to quarterback coach. Ziegler wasn't a McDaniels hire, but he went from like makeshift GM to actual GM. McDaniels, obviously, offensive coordinator to head coach. So it's a lot of guys getting promotions. So these guys are getting pushed up a level, most of them, right? And honestly, all of them fit more or less. The only weird one to me is Antonio Pierce, the linebacker coach, coming from Arizona State. He's leaving purely because of the recruiting violations that Arizona State did and all the hot water that they're in. Like, Ziegler and McDaniels are just bailing him out. Like, all right, let's get you out of college because, like, you're screwed. Like, you're not gonna, NCAA is gonna let you be a coach anymore. Let's get you out of there, right?
Yeah, that's Herm Edwards running the program over there,
dude. Like the program, like the movie, right?
Yeah,
that's the one red flag.
I genuinely believe Herm Edwards had no idea what was going on.
He's that oblivious to like.
Yeah, I think like, I genuinely think he just has no clue what's going on over
there. All 18-year-olds I know drive brand new 7 Series Beamers. It's like par for the course.
All these kids these days with their cars these days and the shoes. Yeah.
Antonio Pierce is the one weird red flag because he was clearly brought in to just, hey, you can't stay in college anymore, right? Like, that was like a favor. Hopefully he's still, I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I'm just saying like the timing and the situation was weird, right? That's the one red flag where all the other coaching hires, I'm like, okay, I get what McDaniels is doing. It sounds like on paper, he's just hiring the best guy available and they work together. Great. Wonderful. Nah, that's what we want.
Well, we also
hired Antonio Pierce. It's like,
we also hired Rob Ryan.
Yep.
As a senior defensive assistant.
Yep.
I love Rob Ryan. I don't know about you.
You just love him because you're bald. He's got that lettuce.
He doesn't have that
beautiful mane.
That beautiful mane. He is the bigger of the Ryan twins.
That says a lot, too, to be the bigger of the Ryan twins.
Yeah, Rex is not a small man.
No small feet.
Rex is not a small boy. It's a big boy right there.
So with the coaching staff in place, now it's time to look ahead to the draft. And we're just kind of, we're looking at it from a distance. Got some binoculars on. It's still a ways away. You know, let's just take, you know, let's take a gander, right? Let's just see what's going on.
A couple months away. It's, you know, it's enough away where it's like, you know, it's far away, but it's like, it'll creep up soon.
It's going to creep up fast, man. 2 months away, right? 2 months away, and it's going to creep up fast.
In Vegas.
You put together, in Vegas, beautiful. You put together a little conglomeration of what the quote-unquote experts are picking for the Raiders at number 22.
Yeah, it's a short list. You know, there's a ton of lists out there. I just put some of the high points out there, some of the big ones. So mock draft, just looking at just a high point of, you know, who says we're going to take at 22. There's a couple of guys out there that like to do, oh, yeah, this person traded here and up and down and this and that. I kind of stayed away from those because it's just too much to kind of get into, you know, because when you get trades and when you start factoring trades into your mock drafts, it just screws everything up and players that normally wouldn't get taken. And it's like, it just screws everything up. So I just said straight up mock draft to see where we go from here.
And it makes sense for the Raiders, because the Raiders aren't really big, like, trade up in the draft guys.
They haven't been, but we don't know. Belichick does trade a lot. That's Belichick true. Does. He does trade. He does trade down a lot. He does trade back a lot to get more picks. But we'll see. Mel Kiper Jr.
Speaking of hair.
Right? Jesus. It's been getting a little thinner lately, though.
He'd make a great vampire.
He would.
You know what I mean? Like Dracula, which is like the really big front, right? You just got to dye the front gray. Big big collar, black cape. Nailed it.
Get on that. Start writing. He has Andrew Booth Jr., the corner from Clemson. I think he's like one of the, probably what, the second or third rated corner in the class. I mean, good class for the secondary. Good.
There's definitely a theme with who these guys think the Raiders need
See if you can pick it up. So Mel Kiper Jr. has Andrew Booth Jr. from Clemson. NFL.com with kind of a conglomerate from all their guys. Has Jameson Williams from Alabama, even though he did tear his ACL. They're thinking that maybe he might be able to come back. Who knows? I'm very scared of taking this pick because who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows when he's going to come back? CBS Sports had also Andrew Booth, the corner from Clemson.
Yep.
Daniel Jeremiah had Chris Olave, the wide receiver from Ohio State. And Todd McShay had Chris Olave, the wide receiver from Ohio State. So we're looking at playmakers from the outside on both sides of the ball. Wide receiver, playmaker on offense, and corners, playmakers on the outside on defense. That's where we're looking. That's what we need.
Yeah, it seemed like the right moves. Addressing need, which is, you know, all NFL coaches and GMs say like, oh, we're just picking the best guy available. It's like, no, you picked a need. Like, you're lying. You always go pick to need. And a big wide receiver and a shutdown corner would be lovely. Is that more valuable or more needed than O-line or D-line help? A top flight wide receiver or corner?
This is, well, yes, because I think the gap with the top receivers and corners is a lot bigger than what's later in the draft. Because there's a lot of, this is a heavy offensive line draft. There's a lot of offensive linemen in this draft coming out. And we can get guys second, third round that are really good offensive linemen who will be, you know, good contributors. And honestly, we have to see what happens, you know, this first wave of signing, you know, what happens with our own free agents, what happens with, you know, this is just the first wave. We'll have to see what's going on in the combine, how guys perform and stuff like that. But ultimately, we've seen it. It's about putting up points, man. How many touchdowns did Carr have? 24 touchdowns? That's just not going to get it done, man. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get it done with him throwing 24 touchdowns. We need more playmakers for him. He needs more playmakers. And Cincinnati proved it. You can compete with teams with a dynamic offense and an opportunistic defense. You can win that way. And part of that is you need to have playmakers on both sides of the ball. And that's something that we've been lacking.
Yeah, I look at our offense and I think to myself, like, there's going to be some really expensive elements to our offense, right? Like, Darren Waller is going to be getting more than $8 million a year soon. Hunter Renfrow is going to be getting 10, 12, 15 mil, right? As good as a Pro Bowl, as good as he's been playing, he's going to need a ton of money, right? We talked about Derek Carr's extension. What if they give Josh Jacobs his fifth-year extension? That's another 10 mil. Like, it's going to get expensive up there, right? Some really young, like, rookie contract blood playmakers down there would be nice. Like, Bryan Edwards, I'm not giving up on him. Like, he's not going anywhere, but unless he's, like,
something's got to give next season. Something has to give on that offense. For as young and talented as this offense is, they're an average scoring team. Mm-hmm. Something's got to give. They were, like, I think 16th or 17th in scoring offense, and it's just, something has to give.
I also wonder too if it was how much of it's schematic, right? Like, with how bad our red zone offense is. If Josh McDaniels does nothing other than improve our red zone offense, potentially a top 10 scoring offense, right? If we just get touchdowns instead of field goals in the red zone, I mean, that's the silver lining to the dark cloud of the inefficiencies that the Raiders showed last season. Is like, we know it needs to be fixed, right? Red zone offense. Gotta be fixed. It was atrocious. Red zone defense, also bad. I guess the good part of knowing what your holes are is, all right, let's get a red zone offense together. Like, Bryan Edwards on paper should be a great red zone target.
And he's got to throw him the fucking ball.
He's flashed it, but he also, like, rarely gets open. Like, his routes are bad. Darren Waller should always be a red zone target. Hunter Renfrow, beautiful red zone target.
Well, like, part of that is you just gotta throw him the ball, dude. What is open in the red zone? If you're just physically more talented and dominant than the person guarding you, just throw it to a spot where your guy can get it. You know, part of being, you know, better schematics and better coaching and better just scheming is, you know, you don't need to have that high price talent if you have better coaching and better plays. You don't have to pay. You can got other guys in there and, you know, the plays will work too.
That's what I'm most looking forward to next season is, do we have untapped potential on this roster that Josh McDaniels can find? Like, that's what I'm looking like, kind of what Gus Bradley did with their defense last season. Just random dudes, right? Like Denzel Perryman, like, they couldn't get rid of him. Carolina couldn't get rid of him fast enough. You know, Casey Hayward, scrap heap, and we got quality dudes, right? Like, he was just able to, like, unlock the potential of just randoms. Can Josh McDaniels do that with their offense? That's what I'm most, like, on the edge of my seat about. Not like, oh, what's he going to do with Derek Carr? How much better is he going to make Darren Waller? Like, we know those things are going to happen. It's just like,
look, man.
Oh, Zay Jones is a Pro Bowler now, or like, whatever, right? You're like, what? How'd you turn that guy good? You know?
How many running backs did the Patriots have last year that were good, solid, producing running backs that were like weapons? We got weapons. We got running backs. Like, they each do things well, different things. I mean, like, you can do the same
collect
thing.
Collect
checks,
here. Number one.
Yeah, right. They run to the bank just fine. That wire transfer, they know how to freaking check that wire transfer.
They're never on injured reserve when they're going to the bank. They're good.
That shit's clean. Set.
Yeah, good times for them. Ready to do some what up winbacks?
Yeah, what up?
What's up? Ivan Chavaria. This is a long one. I don't think anyone here is saying Derek Carr is a top 7 quarterback right now. He's 9-12 at best, but all the stats Juan gives usually fit his narrative. He says he isn't a Carr hater, and I could agree with that, but he expects him to do things he isn't capable of. You need to build a team around Carr with enough talent. It's sad no one holds the organization, all caps, accountable.
All caps, he was mad.
Yet Matthew Stafford went to a stacked Rams because, all caps, of the org. You all cry about Carr, but don't hold org accountable for not building a championship team around him last 8 years. Pathetic. I feel like I've been holding the
franchise
pretty accountable, right?
I mean, if I could address these, my name was mentioned specifically. Some people might say that I give stats that fit my narrative. Other people might say that I give stats to prove my point. I mean,
tomato, tomato.
I mean, who knows? Either way, but I mean, I think that we have. I think we crush our guys for. We did a whole entire show on how bad Mayock's, how bad is his big swings, right? Mm-hmm. The splashy first round draft picks were, how bad they were, and how bad his big first day
free agent signings.
Yeah. I mean, we killed him on how bad that was. That basically cost him his job. Mm-hmm. So we are holding the organization accountable, especially this last regime, accountable for their big swings and misses. So I mean, I think we are. I think we have been. I think I know before this show, RJ and Rory and I have been very critical of a lot of the things. And it's, look, picking specific players is one thing. I understand that, you know, I like this guy over this guy. I understand that, okay? Shit happens. Except for, like, fucking Darius Hayward Bay. Like, what the fuck? Michael Crabtree was right there. Whatever. That happened a lot of years ago. I'm not over it yet. But when you clearly need defensive help and you're picking a fucking wide receiver at 8 anyway, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You understand? That type of thing really upsets me. I've crushed the organization for the way they're building stuff around Carr. And I've been saying it, you know, I said it today. We need to build a better team around Carr. I've seen what he can do. I know what his strengths are. I know what his limitations are. And I know I've seen what he needs to win. And that's why I was very upset about that number of $40 million getting thrown out there, because I don't know that we're going to be able to win giving him that much money. So I think I have been critical of the organization.
I think you have. But I think I am with Ivan in the sense that when the vast majority of your criticism is on Carr, you not intentionally, but you by proxy let other people off the hook, right? Like, if so much of your blame is on one thing, you only have X amount of blame to give. And if it's 90% of that's on one thing, you've let everything else off the hook. And I think that's I think you could probably agree with that, right? Like, all the problems that this franchise has had, so much blame you've put on Carr that just kind of by rule of data, you only have so much more blame to go around.
Yeah, I mean, he's also been one of the only constants as well.
Thank God.
He's had multiple coaches. He's had multiple GMs. He's had multiple players around him. And he's been one of the only constants. And the results have been fairly mixed.
Issues
with the Z at the end? Issues.
Always thought we could get there with Derek Carr. Question now is, does he still want to stick around and get us there? That's something we never really talked about. Does Carr really, really want to be here?
Like, look, after the $40 million bullshit, I don't believe a word coming out of his mouth.
He's backed up every single thing he's ever said.
Back that ass up.
VL8962. RG must have some bad Raider quarterback PTSD. That's true. He is terrified and triggered whenever we talk about moving on from Derek Carr. I absolutely have
Raider emoji.
Two face palm emojis. I absolutely have Raider quarterback PTSD. And if all you guys who've been Raider fans for 15, 20 years don't, something's wrong with you. We have been in some quarterback purgatory, some awful quarterback situations. Outside of Rich Gannon and Derek Carr, it's been nothing but trash.
What was your breaking point? Give me a name. What was your breaking point? Who were you so?
Jamarcus.
Who were you so excited for and just broke you?
Oh, excited for? I haven't been excited for a quarterback. I don't think I've ever been excited for a Raider quarterback. I'm 38. I really started following closely as a teenager. So 20 years is when I've really been close. I was not high on Jamarcus Russell. I was wrong about Rich Gannon. Obviously, he panned out wonderful. Derek Carr was like, second rounder. Let's see what happens. I mean, Carson Palmer, I wasn't a believer. I mean, when was the last Raider quarterback you were really excited about? Like, you were genuinely like, this is the guy that's going to take us there.
I was 20 years old. 1997. The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin were battling it out Monday Night Raw.
I can remember. Like, it was
the Montreal screw job just happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shawn Michaels, the Attitude Era just starting in wrestling.
I like how pro wrestling is your barometer for time. That's great.
Well, there's different eras. There's different eras in wrestling.
All the performers of the Super Bowl halftime show were like before their prime.
Yeah. The NWO was freaking hitting its peak at WCW. The Raiders signed Jeff George. And I was so fucking excited, man. I was like, dude, fucking Jeff George. He's got the cannon arm, dude. Mm-hmm. And he's just so fucking bad, dude. I was so excited, man. I was so fucking pumped up. And he was so shitty. But he fucking, like, he was so talented, dude. He has such a strong arm, man. And he's like, I think he got hurt his first year. He like tore his groin muscle off the bone, like really bad. Cause he played in that dirt. It was the dirt fucking infield that he freaking tore his groin muscle. And like, oh, he just couldn't recover from it. Oh boy. He still played a lot of years after. He played like another fucking eight or so years after that.
A pretty arm on a bad quarterback is like a really great set of tits on a bad stripper. Like, you see the cans and you're like, oh, I want a lap dance from her. She's going to be great. And you're just like, wet fish, no conversation, not happy. You're just like, ugh, this is why I paid $50 for this. Like, this is awful. That's the same thing. It's like, okay.
I got a story.
Fools you.
I was in Vegas. And walk in with a group of friends and sit down. And this chick walks over. And this chick is exactly one of my friends' flavor.
Okay.
The look, the smell, the measurements, the hair color.
You know your buddy's smell preference.
Everything.
Very close friend of yours.
Everything. And I'm like thinking to myself, oh, crap. If she walks even remotely close to my buddy, it's on.
He's gone forever. Yeah.
He buys a dance, and there she goes, right then and there. She's like, we're not going anywhere. We're going to do this right here. And that was the worst lap dance I have ever seen in my life. The worst dance I had ever seen in my life.
She's just like looking away, not touching.
Yeah.
No hips.
No, nothing. She gets up and leaves, and RJ, you looked so sad when she walked away.
I don't remember this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. They're out there.
You even told me, like, that was the worst. That was the worst dance I've ever had. Ever.
I'm telling you, the Jeff George arm is the fake tits on a bad stripper. You're just like, it sucks you in, and you think, like, oh, great. Like, that's all I need. It's like, nope. You need vision, you need smarts, you need be good at the line, you need all this other stuff. Your stripper, like, oh, great tits. It's like, well, you got to be able to move, you got to conversate, you got to be happy, you got to smell good. I'm telling you.
And then you get the slightly thicker girl on stage, and you go to put a dollar in her thong, and she puts her heels behind your head and smushes her face in between her butt cheeks. And you're like, look, I wasn't expecting that, but I appreciate the effort. Here's an extra dollar.
Here's an extra quarter. You've earned it.
Flick it right in that cheek.
All right, well, that's it for us. Until next time, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Auto Windbags. We really appreciate it. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel. Give us a follow on social media. And just try to stay in touch. I miss you guys. It's a long week between podcasts. Until next time. Later.